to me, the thing that really, really scares the shit out of me is the person with the intentions that Donald Trump has and the person who saw the vulnerabilities in our society and our democracy that Donald Trump saw, but somebody who's subtle and smart and strategic and able to pull off political maneuvers that Donald Trump is not.
Political fuckery. What up, world? Welcome.
Hey-o.
To the Ameri Podcast, episode 90. We made
Big
it.
9-0. Away.
Yeah. 10 away from one hundo.
Yeah. Yeah. From triple digits. From the century mark.
Man.
Triple digits.
What is 100 in Roman numerals again?
C.
It's a C? What's 1,000?
Not important, John. The civilization collapsed.
Okay, yeah, fair.
You can remember the 100 because C stands for centurion.
Ah, there you go. Good. And there were 100 of it. Yeah,
God
you.
Damn it. I was trying to be funny and I was trumped by a... Well, that's not a good word to use. Never mind.
You were trumped by a fact. What? What world do we live in?
Today.
I guess
July
you just
25th.
In the sentence there, I was trumped.
July 25th, 2019, 7:30 p.m. Hello, everybody. We got the Johns on today, Anderson and Kelly. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, hey there.
Yep.
I'm good.
Doing well.
All right.
No Tyler tonight.
No Tyler.
No Tyler.
What brings us here today? We're going to talk about, we're going to say hello to you all. I hope you're all having a great week. And then we're going to talk briefly about the Mueller testimony that happened yesterday. I hope you all watched it. We tried to warn you.
Circus.
Reviews were not great.
No. from anybody.
Oh, man. Yep. Well.
But we'll get into that later.
Let's do a little, I don't know, quick little opinion. 2-minute opinion. We'll go in a circle and then, you know, free for all or something like that. Who wants to start?
I will. I've got something short and sweet to say.
All right.
Ben Franklin walked out of Independence Hall when they created the Constitution, and this little lady came up and said, "Hey, do we have a monarchy or a republic?" And he said, "We have a monarchy if you can keep it." And I am very concerned about the keep it part of where we are right now, especially after this testimony, and that's what I have to say, and we'll get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, John. It's a totally fair point.
Okay, Kelly.
I'll say two things. First, not surprised at all that the testimony was lackluster and that he didn't really budge from basically just pointing back to the document itself and side deflecting a lot of questions that were there. Two, I think it was a total circus on both sides, and the most important aspects of the document now that are important moving forward for the upcoming election and probably the upcoming security of our country for potentially decades to come was glossed over a lot of times by people on both sides. And that would be the interference in our election by the Russians.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the same way, man. Honestly, I felt like the Democrats were a little, they could have been, I don't want to say unprepared because I think they prepared, but they did not bring out the points that I thought needed to be brought out. They didn't really examine in depth the criminality of the Trump administration.
I don't think Mueller had any. He wasn't even going to say anything about it.
Well,
I think the Democrats tried, but
They could have talked about like who's the speaker, or not the speaker? The
head of the committee.
Yeah,
which one?
The Intelligence Committee in
the House.
That's Schiff.
I think Schiff did a good job of highlighting, like, his statement was brief and polite and just, like, highlighting the seriousness of the criminal conduct without touching on anything. And I just wish there was more of that. But then I was also just kind of disgusted by how rude and like almost aggressive that the Republicans were in their questioning on Mueller, as if he was responsible for the investigation, when really he was called into duty to provide a service for the American people. And I felt like they forgot that. They kind of were trying to rake him over the coals as if he was the one responsible for this investigation.
Yeah, it's telling that they did not attack the substance of the report. They attacked the persona who wrote it, which is a very good tell.
That's all they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even more troubling was that the man, I guess apparently learning today, he's not been feeling super well. And, you know, 7 hours or whatever of testimony probably wasn't a great thing for him to do, but he manned up and did it anyways. You know, he had a aide with him the whole time, like a health aide.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That's
it's just
fair,
rude.
That's
it's rude, and it wasn't classy. And I think if I had any respect left for the Republican Party, I just lost it.
I agree. It's hard to look at their testimony and their lines of questioning and see anything besides just a means to an end. They wanted to produce a narrative for the American public. It was clear what they were trying to say, which is discredit Mueller, discredit the whole report, and base it around the idea of wasting taxpayer money on a witch hunt that didn't resolve anything or didn't find anything, which is patently false. And after a while, it just felt like you were sitting there watching Republicans be nothing but mouthpieces for Fox News, which isn't super surprising in today's political climate, but it still was just disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm confident that I know more about policy and ethics and maybe even American history than some of those fuckers that were up there on the Republican side, you know?
Or at least you would be willing to employ it.
Oh, right.
You know?
I would. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, wow.
Well, and I mean, you look at it, and getting back to one of the points that I made initially, which is that there's still, even if you get past the obstruction and collusion stuff, which is what the main focus of a lot of the discussion was about, there's still very serious, serious stuff in that report about Russian interference with the elections, mm-hmm. which Republicans should be just as concerned about as the Democrats are, but they're not.
And literally 24 hours after this testimony, what hits the news? Russians are attempting to hack elections in all 50 states.
No, they did.
Or they did.
They did in 2016.
They did in 2016.
The Washington Post, yes. Until now, they compromised election systems in every state in the union. There is also a report in the Washington Post that came out today or yesterday that other countries like Iran are developing these capabilities very quickly and will likely be able to deploy them in 2020. I thought, like, this was gross.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was gross. It was – we – like the idea that the founders had was that we were all going to get together and in some amount of good faith try and solve problems. And in no way, shape, or form did this testimony advance that. I think one party is certainly more guilty than the other one. But this was – the Democrats seem to have an ineffectual strategy. The Republicans seem to have an evil strategy. Bob Mueller seems to have no strategy. Nobody seems to be doing anything. And I want to think that Bob Mueller is making a bet on American democracy and saying, when the American people do their homework, they will understand how terrible this is and they will, you know, take action. And I am increasingly very pessimistic that that's going to happen because we don't read books anymore. We thought this was going to be Mueller Report, the movie. It was boring as hell and not informative unless you know what the report said in the first place.
Absolutely. Democrats wanted clear sound bites, clear things that they could just be saying. See, he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't – like, I don't blame the Democrats necessarily. It was – that to me is Bob Mueller's decision. I understand – Like, that's one of those decisions where I think that he's saying, okay, this is my job and this is how I know to, like, preserve the norms of the Republic. Unfortunately, I think this might be one of the cases where the only person capable of preserving the norms of the Republic needs to break them in order to preserve them, and he's not doing it. Like, Lincoln, for example, here's a good example in the movie. Lincoln, he does basically everything he possibly can to get the votes for the 13th Amendment, which was abolishing slavery. And some of the tactics he employed were somewhere around unethical or illegal, but it was towards the greater good of ending slavery. And I'm very afraid that Bob Mueller is making the narrow right decision, which is broadly a dumb, not smart decision. And the Republicans are taking advantage of that opening. Bob Barr is taking, or William, Bob, whatever, Attorney General Barr is taking advantage of that, whatever the fuck his first name is. And this is deleterious to the Republic, and the Democrats can't do anything about it because the Republicans are stopping them. Right. So the only remedy to this is the American people, and the American people seem to be disinterested, and I don't know where to go from
apathetic here on that.
Yeah. It does seem more and more that really it's just the election in 2020. That's the only rap on the knuckles that, you know, Trump will get. But, you know, you never know. The one thing about the testimony yesterday is that Mueller was specifically asked if he could still be charged after he left office, and he said yes.
An immediate yes.
So, I mean, it's still there. It's still floating there. It's still a potential rallying cry. Sorry,
but
John.
Let's just pause on that for a second. Robert Mueller, who I think we can say is like one of the most credible people in the country in the political realm, said the Republican part or the president of the United States is indictable and would have been indictable if not but for him being president.
Right.
That is insanity. You know what the scandals were with Barack Obama? He wore a tan suit one time, and one time he talked about a cop doing a stupid thing, and he had to sit down with the cop and the guy and have a beer. And the president of the United States of America is indictable for obstruction of justice, which strikes at the heart of our democracy and our legal system, and it's just a fucking Wednesday.
And that doesn't even...
Yeah, and it's swept under the rug. I mean, in to not be just totally, I don't want to sound like I'm blasé about the topic, but, you know, Republicans sure know how to fucking deflect information and deflect an argument about it, because they're doing a great job with their base by not talking about any of it. You know, part of it is, yes, that people don't want to listen, but, you know, it's a good mess. It's a good branding, what they're doing, even if it is criminal.
And it helps that they have a vast, vast and very effective propaganda network behind them. And that is just not an equivalent thing that Democrats have, because I think we're playing on two different playing fields, because we care about, you know, facts and the truth and reality, and they care about power and winning. And that is a problem for the Republic. It's a problem for the democracy, and it's a problem for every United States citizen.
Let's consider that perhaps Robert Mueller's playing not dumb, but very passive, because he knows that there's more to come. What's the chance of that? Would that explain some of his behavior?
No, not in my mind.
No. I don't think so. I don't think he's playing any kind of game. I think he's just like, these are the rules and regulations, and that's what I'm going to do, and leave it at that.
Yeah, but I got to agree with John. I think that if anything that we've seen throughout the entire report process, after when him and his team wrote the thing, when they indicted all the people, when they released the report, when he did his only public appearance before this, and then yesterday, he sticks to the books. It's pretty obvious. I don't think he's waiting on anything.
I think he's been entirely consistent about that.
There's been 100 indictments and 10 convictions, I believe,
which is a lot, and it doesn't imply more
right
things.
But there's still investigations that are ongoing and yeah, a lot of information that we don't know. So I'm just saying, maybe he seems unconcerned because there's still more to play out, and it's perhaps so deep that he's like, wow, Trump's actually going to be fucked. And so he's just like, my hands are done. I'm an old man. I want to just chill.
Maybe. I think it's wishful thinking, but maybe.
I think it's like less than 1% chance.
Well, there's so much still going on with the Trump administration, like between the emoluments clause and bribe money stuff that he's going to be getting in trouble for.
Yeah, but he's going to get a charge in New York in the Fifth District. Yeah, but as soon as he's not president,
that doesn't solve the underlying fundamental issue, which is that Bob Mueller decided that the president can't be charged. So we can have evidence of all of the crimes. Literally, he could violate everything in the U.S. code, and apparently we still can't charge him with a crime.
Right. Well, DOJ can't, which is him. About it. He laid it at the feet of Congress, which is exactly what the Constitution calls for him to do.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, the Democrats control the House, and they can't get it together to figure out a line of pursuit, I think, that actually harms the president in terms of their actions across the board. And then two, even if they do impeach him, the Senate's never going to fucking do anything about it because they're Republicans.
Right.
So it's a moot point because of how the politics are set up in Congress. So
yes,
unfortunately, we're stuck. It's stuck.
You know? And I don't think there's much more it could have done either. You know, at the same time,
I think
he did his job.
I mean, I think he could have come out. I think it would have been really powerful if he came out and was like, I believe the president committed obstruction of justice, and I believe he should be charged with a crime, but I also believe that he cannot be charged with a crime because he's president. Like, that would have been really powerful, and he could have done that.
Absolutely, he could have. Absolutely.
But within, the realm of his thinking, which is Mr. Boy Scout rules and regulations, he did what he thought he was supposed to do, and no, he couldn't have done it anymore, according to him. And I think, like, in the abstract, he's right, because we live in a democracy, and so citizens should decide things. But, like, I don't have a lot of faith that this society right now can lead itself out of this darkness. And so, like, we need leadership, I think, and he was in a position to do that, and he didn't. So I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I guess it's that the American people need to do their goddamn jobs as citizens, and that is the fundamental problem that we have had basically since before this administration, and we will continue to come back to that. There will be no remedy through the courts. Apparently, there's going to be no remedy through Congress unless things drastically change after this. And the only remedy will be with the United States people at the ballot box.
Right. And it's tough because it's even deeper than that. Because, I mean, we know it because we see it and we follow politics. We also follow the currents that surround the deeper questions in this country. And Trump is a symptom of a much larger shift that's happening in this country. It has to do with nationalism. It has to do with anti-globalism. It has to do with, a shift back towards values that people thought were completely thrown to the wayside during the Obama administration. Getting Trump out of the White House is one thing, but there's still a hell of a lot of senators and representatives that went along with what he has been doing in the White House without much pushback, and probably won't change their pattern of behavior or their pattern of support anytime soon, whether or not he gets reelected in 2020. There are these deeper issues, but I agree, John, it comes down to us as citizens.
Yeah. Removing Trump, to your point, is
paramount.
Necessary. It's necessary, but not sufficient to solving the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Like, I don't think that we can begin solving the underlying issues until Trump is gone, because he will continue to exploit them to his own personal gain. But the issues that led to Trumpism will continue to be there when he's gone. And so we will be dealing with the remnants of Trumpism probably for the rest of our lives. And
you know what's so scary to me too is whether he has one term or if he gets elected again for the second term and then leaves, is that he's probably going to be alive for at least another 10 years after he gets out of office, whether it's in 2020 or 2024. And unlike previous presidents who have the grace to basically step out of political life and do things outside of it, he'll never be that guy. He's going to be like, he's going to start his own TV channel, which is going to be like Fox News 2.0, and it'll be Trump on there fucking 5 hours a day railing about, I should be president for life. Why aren't Republicans doing this? Listen to me. And it's that is scary to me. That is scary.
Fueling that fire of ignorance.
Can I see your scary and raise you one?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, geez.
To me, the thing that really, really scares the shit out of me is the person with the intentions that Donald Trump has and the person who saw the vulnerabilities in our society and our democracy that Donald Trump saw, but somebody who's subtle and smart and strategic and able to pull off political maneuvers that Donald Trump is not. Yeah, Donald Trump is just like a walking id, right?
Good point.
And if you had somebody like we are ripe for a Caesar right now.
Yeah.
We are ripe for somebody to come in and say, I can solve all these problems. I am a smart motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. And I think it would be – he or she would be able to – gain so much power that they would be a Caesar-like figure in our country, looking at all of the vulnerabilities that Donald Trump exposed.
Yeah.
So it's the smart Trump that really scares
me. He's opening up wounds in parts of the American psyche that are pretty strong undercurrents.
Yeah.
You know? And stuff that has been part of the American social fabric since the dawning of the nation. Really?
Yeah.
And so it is, in a way, I mean, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but it's a battle for the soul of the country is really what it is.
I don't think that's hyperbolic. I think 2020 is a battle for the soul of the country. I think that it will be deterministic of this next several decades of our political experience. I absolutely believe that the soul of our democracy is at stake in 2020. It will be the most important election of our lifetimes, I promise you.
Oof, man, I hope so. And then we can just have some peace after that.
I would be okay with that.
I wouldn't put your hat on peace, no matter who wins in 20. But
yeah, the 90s.
Way to bring that down to a depressing level, Anderson.
And yeah, no, I'm sorry. I warned you guys at the beginning of the pod that I was ready to light everything on fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not an easy topic. I mean, we obviously cover some pretty heavy stuff, and we have been trying to follow the Mueller report very closely for the listeners who've listened to us for the last 90 episodes, or even caught a couple here and there. We brought it up often because we understood the importance that were the underlying themes that were being presented in the report and what the possibilities were, both positive and negative, with the outcomes of it. So, you know, it's again, it's disappointing. I'd like to throw shame at both parties again for trying to get it to be an over politicized moment for one side or the other to fit a narrative. I would have liked to have seen a lot more discussion.
Can I quibble with you?
Yeah.
A little bit. I think we need to get out of this like both sides left right mentality. I throw shame at the American people. The American people elected these representatives. They continue to elect these representatives. They watch Fox News. Yeah. They watch all this television. Like, it is politics, the media, they are responsive to people. They are a second order effect to people. And so I don't necessarily blame any one congressperson because they're probably doing what they will get them reelected, which is their jobs to represent their people. But the problem is the people they're representing.
And I'll push back a little bit there, saying that they're doing their job to represent the people. They're doing their job to get reelected. Those are two different things.
I will also say,
yeah, fair.
Although, a lot of them are trying to get reelected and not necessarily doing things that they were voted in for or that would be the best for their constituencies.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
I would also like to point out, though, that I think at the end of the day, though, we are all just human and susceptible to manipulation, right? Like, gaslighting is a real thing. And we cannot forget that there have been for not 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, not 40 years, but like 50 years, right? 60 years of people trying to manipulate the way that people think in this country and persuade them into believing an ideology that may not be what they want, but because they have been morphed from birth to believe that, you cannot get outside of that purview. That's just how humans work. That is the human brain. Look up Jesus Camp. The documentary,
that's a throwback.
It's a great example of just how you can manipulate people from birth to believe something that is totally crazy. Not to downplay
what, like Jesus existed.
Not to downplay any religion.
Is that what the
not to downplay any religions?
Yeah, sorry.
But it's about a specific church, and the way that they treat their children's students, I guess. It's very, it's fascinating, but it's total brainwash. And we, you know, as much as I want to be like, yeah, shame on the American people. Yes. But also they've perhaps been led or misguided down the wrong path. And so you have to have some love still, to help reverse that.
Sure. Yeah. I agree. The reason I say that is because I think that the reason I put full responsibility on the American people is because I believe that that is ultimately where the remedy lies. Like the media, the parties, they're never going to change their behavior because what they're doing is working. The only way they will change their behavior is if people start changing their behavior. And so that's why I want to throw full responsibility on the American people, because they're the remedy.
And they are the remedy. And it's you have to be the change you want to see in the world,
We are the remedy.
Yeah, we should be using.
We are the change. But I mean, the change happens with you personally, and we are not we without you participating. So at the end of the day, while we are a we, it is still a you, and only you can change you. You know.
Word.
On that
pronouns.
Note.
Yep. Well, yeah, that was a little bit of a downer to the end of the week, but
yeah. So everybody, pour a drink and vote, and call your congressman.
Make it a stiff one.
Yeah, no sugarcoating this shit. We have so much work to do for 2020,
and it's gonna be fun, guys. Don't worry, kicking ass is fun.
We'll make it fun. It is. We'll make it fun. It'll be great. And beating this motherfucker is gonna be so goddamn satisfying.
Yes.
I want that victory so badly in my life.
Oh man, you think that big old baby was bad when he fucking won? Think about when he loses.
It's gonna be amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So I guess Kamala Harris 2020.
I'm down with that.
That is a non-official endorsement. All words said on this podcast are mine and mine alone. That is not an official endorsement.
Thank you for clarifying. Thank you for clarifying.
We're withholding our official endorsement for later on in the primary. We feel like we would be unfairly putting our thumb on the scales if we were to endorse right now. So we want to make sure to avoid.
I mean, plus we still have the draft going on, So
this is true.
We can't start picking each other's candidates out of our draft pools to root for.
Are you sure we can't do that? Blake, what do you want for Kamala Harris?
We're talking trades. Anyway, thank you, listeners. Leave us some comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to talk about. There's plenty out there.
Oh,
thanks for listening.
I have a plug real quick. Lawfare created a podcast called The Report. They are turning the Mueller report into a narrative. It is phenomenal. Nice. It means that you do not have to read the report to have a deep understanding of the report. I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. Their first episode came out this week. It's on. It's called Active Measures. It's on what the Russians did. It literally follows the report. The beginning of the report starts with the Russian interference in 2016. It's brilliant. It's narrated by Susan Hennessy, who is one of my national security crushes. She's fucking awesome. So please, please, please download the report. It's very, very important that you understand intimately and deeply what the Mueller report says, because, not to be hyperbolic, but I do believe this, your democracy is at stake.
Yeah.
Good plug.
Just a little bit.
Good plug.
All right, everybody.
Godspeed, everybody.